When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Tour Report from Secret Golf. Well, Elk, we are on to the penultimate event of the 2023 season. It's been this FedEx fall. Last week, it was the Worldwide Technology Championship in Mexico at Tigers Course. And Erik van Rooyen, I mean, an eagle on the 72nd hole to get his second PGA Tour victory.
I watched the final hole is all I got to see, but the story was Camilo Villegas almost all week, Diane, and Matt Kuchar, who had Matt Kuchar on their scorecard coming with the maybe the shortest hitter on the field playing so well last week, had an eight on Saturday, cost him as it turns out. But Van Rooyen, of course, you know, he's a little tricky. You know, I think he won in Reno at the end of the year, couple years ago to keep his card. He won yesterday more or less to keep his card. He was, as you noted on the show last week, he was 125th on the money. He jumped now to 63rd. He was playing on a lot of emotion. One of his best friends that went to school with him in college is having problems with cancer, and he used that to will his way along. Every shot, he said, was for that friend of his. So you know, the tour is about 30 or 40% stats, Diane, and then the other 50 or 60% is all sorts of things. And this one, strangely enough, was great for him and great for his friend, but it was a sort of a heartstring, emotional pulling point that worked for Van Rooyen. And he said this is all over a silly trophy, but it was all about his friend.
Well, you know, it kind of puts it into perspective for anyone, you know, in the media, us doing these shows and talking about the tournaments and the golfers that are fighting for points and fighting for their cards, that, you know, the battle to retain your PGA Tour card is nothing compared to the battle that, you know, some people are facing in life right now. And I think that really put it into perspective for Erik van Rooyen and inspired him to cross the finish line in a very, very low scoring tournament. And as you said, Camilo Villegas, I mean, what a story. He came out of nowhere, and with no disrespect to him, he's one of these guys that he hasn't been around much, he hasn't been playing much, he hasn't been in contention much. So you see him post a low round and you think, oh, he's not going to be able to hang on, you know, he's not going to be there on Sunday. And he was right until the very end and finished in a tie for second alongside Matt Kuchar, as you said. But it really just highlights as well, you know, that, yeah, so we look at all these stats, but there's this extra layer of motivation, like Erik van Rooyen had, and like the likes of Camilo Villegas had, who's playing for probably conditional status, getting within the 150 on the PGA Tour right now. So a couple of events left to go, and there's a lot of guys that are really, really going to be grinding over the next 2 weeks to try and get it locked up.
Yeah, and, you know, the Tiger Woods golf course, you know, it looked fantastic on TV. We talked a lot, I did at least, about how windy it was going to be, and the wind never came, and the scores went tumbling. I think it was 6 under cut, Diane, 27 under won the tournament. That's That's almost seven under each day. That's, for you sports fans at home, that's almost birdie in every second hole for 4 days. I mean, it's incredibly low scoring. So a little bit disappointing that the wind wasn't there. Maybe this week we've moved over to another coastal course that we're going to talk about in a minute. And this one really is a windy course. Of course, I said that last week as well, but let's hope we see a little wind this week.
I saw a great tweet from Andrew Putnam, who shot 10 under on Sunday to jump all the way up into a tie for fifth. And he said, you know, the scoring's low when you shoot 10 under, you walk out of scoring and nobody is waiting to talk to you. He's like, I just packed my bags and left Mexico. And that really does sum it up, as you say, very, very low scoring week. The wind didn't blow, but I tell you what, the wind is going to blow this week in Bermuda at Port Royal Golf Club. I mean, some of the weather conditions we've seen here over the years with the wind, like, it's a stunning place and the views from the course are sensational, but that wind will blow. And it's kind of like Scotland, that you look at the weather forecast to see how many miles per hour it's going to blow, and then you have to add on some. And I did check it out, and the windiest day is going to be Sunday, which is going to make for a very, very dramatic closing round for the Butterfield Bermuda Championship.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. This tournament has had some strange winners, or not strange, different style winners. Yeah. We've seen Brian Day and Brendan Todd, very short hitters. They won it with the putting and hitting lots of greens and reg. Wyndham Clark was beaten in a playoff here just a year or so ago. Who was the winner of that one? I've forgotten. It was in my notes.
We've had Lucas Herbert, who was your pick.
I was my pick a year before.
Then last year, it was Seamus Power who won, and he was my pick. So we've been doing pretty well at this tournament.
Yeah, and she, yes, and Wyndham Clark was, I think, second in that event. So now he's a US Open champion. So this course, basically, Diane, you don't have to, some long hitters have won this tournament, but, you know, you've got to putt well over here. 15 under has been sort of the average winning score, even when it was windy. So there's still some scoring to happening there, but there's some tricky holes. I know the 16th hole was on social media quite a bit today, a long par three right into the water, right with the water behind, a beautiful looking shot, mid iron. So how is your dance card shaping up this week, Diane? We got to keep our run here.
I know, we have to try. And Wyndham Clark lost to Brian Gay. It was in 2020 in that playoff. And, you know, I've been having a look at the stats from the last 3 years. You know, obviously, Seamus Power, Lucas Herbert, and Brian Gay. And putting is the stat. Now, we have limited stats because we don't get shot link in Bermuda. You know, can you imagine them trying to get all the equipment over there to get that set up for the week? So limited stats, but, you know, you can definitely see that putting has been the consistent stat factor when it comes to the winners around here. And, you know, it's a short course. It's the second shortest course that the guys play behind Pebble Beach. So it's going to be, as you said, you know, you're excited to see it. I'm excited to see it. It's a gorgeous place, great golf to watch, you know, right on the coast with that blue, blue water. A lot of elevation changes on the course. And then hopefully the weather is going to play a little bit more of a factor this week to spice it up.
Yeah, and we're looking at a couple of things. We're not worried about the top 50. We're looking for a cool champion this week, of course. Yeah. Hope it's one of our picks. But Van Rooyen, 125th, you said in the show last week, he was the bubble boy last week. He jumped all the way to 63rd. Camilo Villegas, who you also mentioned that is coming out of nowhere with a second-place finish, jumped all the way only now into the 150, or just outside of the 150. So if he would just jump into the 150, what would that mean for him? Of course, he would like to be totally exempt into the top 125. And, you know, you've got all kind of major champions like Jimmy Walker and these guys that are just right there. Ryan Palmer, who came out of nowhere last week, had a top five finish or so, jumped himself into, now he has a shot to get into the top 125. You know, a lot of people like to watch the tour school to see if guys really under the gun. Well, we're under the gun now. We got only got 2 weeks left, and We saw Patton Kizzire, who was one of our picks last week, one of your picks. I was texting with Patton this week. He started the week at 130th, finished 14th, and only jumped up, Diane. He only gained four spots. So a lot of guys whizzed by, Van Rooyen whizzed by, or, you know, some of these some of these guys are going backwards and making a cut.
Yeah.
Six under was the cut, 27 under was the win score. So if you're thinking about polishing up your clubs and having a go at the tour, don't go back to that Tiger Court.
Yeah. It was tough. You know, this is the fifth year that the Bermuda Championship's been held at this course. And then next week being the final event, the RSM Classic at Sea Island, a two-course rotation there. And that's going to be a venue that a lot of the guys have played before. So, you know, last week was unfamiliar territory. This week, we know what to expect. The guys that have played this tournament know what to expect. Somebody who's making their tournament debut is Adam Scott this week, which is very interesting. What do you think Adam Scott's motivation is? Well, we know what his motivation is FedEx Cup number wise. He is 85th right now, so he's going to be looking to jump up. But, you know, Adam Scott coming to play the Bermuda Championship, he's the big headline name teeing up this week.
Maybe had to refuel his plane on the way from Switzerland to Australia and decided to stay at a favorite restaurant in Bermuda. I don't know. I mean, Adam Scott is from Queensland. I'm sure this course will be almost identical to every course that he grew up on up near Brisbane, where he's from. So he should do pretty well. And Adam Scott's a master player in the wind. I don't have him on my card this week, Diane, just because I don't know anything about what he's been doing. I hope he's been resting. I know he's headed to Australia planning some tournaments here coming up. Australian Opens in a couple of weeks. But Adam Scott, he'll be there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I have a fun name to look out for this week as well. It was a great story that just jumped out when I was looking at the field. But there's a guy called Oliver Betschart who's teeing it up this week. He is a local lad from Bermuda. He's 15 years old. Now, he got in through this 54-hole qualifying tournament to stamp his place. I think he missed out by like one shot last year. But Port Royal Golf Course is where the tournament's taking place. He is last year's club champion. So this guy is 15 years old. He's got a bit of a leg up in that he has won on this course before. He's probably played it 100 times more than anyone else. And it's going to be a really cool story to follow this week.
I'm glad you mentioned him, Diane, because I hope they follow him and I'm going to be following and watching that. I can't imagine how exciting that's going to be for him.
Oh, amazing.
What do we call it? What do we call the people from Bermuda? There'll be a
Bermudian
lot of support for him and all, of course, all the club members following him.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a good one to watch. Right, okay. Well, we're going to get into our picks. Now, remember the numbers that we're really focusing on. It's the top 125 that lock up their full tour cards. And as I said, they have this week and next week to do so. So there's going to be, you know, as you just said, you expect there to be a little bit more volatility than there actually is. But someone like Erik van Rooyen, who's right there and has that motivation, that could be the extra juice to help get them over the finish line and lock up everything for next year. And then 126 to 150 is conditional status on the tour still as well. And then for the top 10 from this FedEx fall, the guys that finish from 51 to 60, they get places in the first two signature events of 2024. And those are the big money events. So there's a lot of motivation. And we've said this all the way through FedEx fall. Different guys have different motivations right now. For some, they're, you know, battling hard to try and keep their jobs over the next 2 weeks. And then for others, it's a case of moving on up so they can make more money and being in a better position for next year. So, yeah, there's a lot at play.
Yeah, and when you think about being a tour player, yes, we are getting ready to end this year, Diane, but you try to think of yourself as being on tour for 20 years, and this is just a sort of a, you're in the middle of a grass here, and how am I playing right now, and what am I trying to accomplish, and where am I? Yes, if we zoomed right in on a right in tight, each one of these players has a particular story, and they have little momentum swings back and forth, and what is that momentum, and how much of an effect, negative or positive, is it? you know, we saw Van Rooyen do what he did. He was going to play this week, but he's already withdrawn and he's gone to see his friend that's up in Minnesota. So, and he was sitting right on the bubble of that 62nd. I think he is now. So that's completely out of his mind, of course, but we have some stories that we'll unveil a little bit on two of my picks are sort of bubble boys on two different spots of the money list.
Okay. Right. I'm excited to hear the picks this week, that's for sure. We're each going to give outright favourites, ones to watch, and then dark horses. And we'll give you what the guys are for, like a top five, a top 10, top 20 finish when it comes to those dark horses. I have two outright favourites because I can't pick. And last week, I feel like I was forced into picking a one to watch that I wasn't 100% in on. It was Emiliano Grillo because Joel Damon was my guy and he withdrew. So I was like, no, this week I need a little bit of redemption. So I'm between two guys and I'm going to give you them both because I'm so worried that if I leave one off, then the other one's, he's going to go win. And then I'm going to be like, I told you so. So I'll do one of mine first and then I'm going to come back to him after the second one.
Okay.
So I will start with one of mine because I'm feeling quite good about him. He's 28-1 and I am going with Alex Smalley. Now, he's in a great position in that he's already within the top 60 in the FedEx Cup fall standing. So he's playing for a spot in those first two signature events, as I said, of next year. But he's looking for his first win on the PGA Tour and he has to see this as being a real opportunity week. He knows the course. He's played here twice before and has finished 12th and 11th, seven top 10s this season and a T16 at the Sanderson Farms just a few weeks ago. I was looking at his strokes gained off the tee. He hasn't lost any strokes off the tee since July. He's going to have to putt well, which is the downfall of his game, but I'm hoping that he's back on, obviously, familiar greens where he's had success before. So Alex Smalley at 28-1, he's my first outright favourite.
Okay, I'm by that.
Okay.
So do you want to do your other favourite or you want me to go jump in there?
Well, what odds do you have for your guy?
I think my player this week is about 20-1.
Okay, you go, because my other guy's 35-1.
Okay. Well, I'm picking a young man that I've been watching. We've talked about on the show quite a bit. Akshay Pattaya, Indian player, left-hander, super young player. And I've been watching him for a couple of reasons. He does really well when he kind of gets going, Diane. And I've been watching him 43rd 5 weeks ago, 35th, 21st, and 10th last week with a 9-under par last round on Sunday down in Cabo. Okay. He got himself on the tour. He won in the Bahamas, which is very similar place as this one. Won at the Barracuda to get himself onto the PGA Tour. Found himself in the final group in Mexico, Diane. Is there a trend going on here with these sort of smaller events where there's different grasses and windy and all this, you know, and could have something to do where he was raised. Found himself in the last group in Mexico with Tony Finau and John Rahm, played really well, finished third, I think, down there. Finished 17th here last year. Akshay Pattaya is going to be a super player. We everything about Sahith Theegala, those two. I mean, yeah. I'm on fire with my Indian names at the moment, Diane. Gotta give you some credit. If he does win this week, you're going to get 5% because you taught me how to pronounce his name correctly.
Okay.
So I love Akshay. He is thin as a rail, Diane, and hits the ball a mile. And he's so up and coming. More than anything, I just want everyone to know who he is. And I hope this show can shine more light on him than he already has. But here's a star that's coming.
Okay. Well, he's 18-1, 20-1, round about there. So there's definitely people watching him this week. And the fact that he won in the Bahamas on the Corn Ferry Tour, I love that correlation. Because, you know, it's that resort golf and it's playing on the coast and knowing everything that comes with it. So I like it. My other guy is, I'm stealing him a little bit from you, but he's coming off back-to-back seventh place finishes in his last two tournaments. And he's playing, I mean, obviously well. He entered this FedEx Fall at 121 and he now sits at 104. So he's safe. But he's also got two top 17 finishes at this tournament too. Chesson Hadley, I found him at 35-1. That was the highest. But I looked at his stats last week. Again, limited stats from Mexico, but he was fourth in putting. So that shows where his putting's at. And he's gained strokes in approach every week since August. So Chesson Hadley, I thought those odds were really good for a guy who's in great form right now.
I love that. I love his name. I'm still in pain for what happened to him down at Congaree a couple of years ago. I think he bogeyed the last four holes to lose the tournament. But he's one of these young guys that sort of, well, he's got a family. He has things to play for, and that's what he's doing down there. He's playing well. And everyone that is sort of, let's call it, clear and free for next year, they have certainly a slightly less pressure on them. Well, they do. Absolutely less pressure, and they have a sort of a different mindset. So he'll be trying to win the tournament. They're all trying to do that, but there's some tiptoeing that has to be done for these guys that are on the bubble to make sure they get themselves into the cut. They can't make any mistakes the first 2 days, and that's where the separation sometimes happens when there's a lot of pressure involved with trying to keep your status. There's a bit of tiptoeing, as we say, the first 2 days.
Okay, well, Chesson Hadley, I am taking him and Alex Smalley, and then you have Akshay Bhatia as our outright favourites this week. Okay, ones to watch. So, guys, with higher odds, my guy this week is about 70-1. What about you? What do you have?
I'm going to go first. Thomas Dietrich from Belgium. Yeah. He's halfway home. If he could get his number 62 on the FedEx, Diane, if he was to jump into the top 60, that would guarantee him two $20 million events starting next year. Would he keep going to Belgium and have some Belgium waffles? What is it? But what do they eat over there, Diane?
A lot of chocolate too. Chocolate. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or would he come back? But he plays well here. He finished second here last year. He's had a good season, obviously, 62 on the FedEx Cup, 10 top 25 events, 10 top 25 finishes this year. Second, as I said, last year at this very event, and he is thinking about trying to get a few more points. I think he has to have like 50 points. It's not a huge ask. Doesn't have to go crazy this week, but if he could finish probably top 15, he's going to get himself two $20 million events if he can.
That's
why I'm picking Dietrich this week.
Last year, I had picked Seamus Power and Thomas Dietrich. So I had first and second last year at this event. So I'm a big fan of him. Good for you. I like it. My guy is 70-1. And similar vein, I think course history is going to be important this week. And over the last 2 years, this guy has finished 8th last year, 17th the year prior. Justin Lower. I found him 70-1 was the highest. Most places had him around about 60-1. But great course history. He's going to step on the property this week and feel pretty good. This FedEx Fall portion has been a little bit up and down for him. But he finished T23 last week, and that's been his best finish of late. But the putting stat is the one for him, and he sits within the top 10 in the field in putting this week. So he's a great putter. He's going to feel comfortable on these greens, hopefully, after the way he's played the last 2 years. So I really like Justin Lower. And as I said, I thought odds of 60-70-1 were really good for him.
I like it. I was just looking. Right. I'm not going to pick Jimmy. I'm going to jump in and say I'm not going to pick Jimmy Walker, but there's some pretty good-sized players, Diane. Good-sized meaning a lot of experience with winning and so on. Jimmy Walker, 125-1, sitting 132nd on the money list or on the FedEx Cup, sitting just outside looking in. Did you know that? Yeah. I just found that.
It's a big number. Okay, well, that could have been your dark horse.
Could be, but I think I'm going to do another one with you. Go ahead.
I know what you're going to do. I know.
Okay, I won't have to. I won't then. I won't do it. But I'll just reiterate your good pick then, because you had it first.
Okay. So
I'll go and I'll clear the field for you. Everyone knows that I have been picking this kid ever since he came on tour in like a year and a half ago. I'm talking about MJ Duffy. He went to school at Lamar, Road Course Record, almost all around town. This guy gets so hot, and he hasn't got hot at all, hardly for me, this year on the tour at all. And I'm a little chapped off about it, but I'm going to give him one more go because he's 129th on FedEx Cup. And if you don't know what the pressure is there, this is when he excels. He's almost in the same vein as Patrick Reed. Remember when Patrick Reed was trying to get on the PGA Tour and he Monday four-spotted like six times in a row? MJ did the same exact thing. I think he four-spotted seven times in 1 year to get onto the events. He plays really well on these sprints. I've got him, but he's only 60 to 1 or so, but I know you'll let me take him because you took two at the top.
Okay,
I'll take Duffy this week to get his ticket.
And also, I feel like the guy I'm about to say is really the guy that you want to pick too. And you can probably add a little bit of information because I know you were talking to him. Patton Kizzire, 90 to 1. Now, I picked him last week because I had noticed this upturn in his putting, which has always been the best part of his game. And it was letting him down this season. But it had been improving. And he was going back to play in Mexico. He'd won this tournament before, albeit at a different course, but he finished in a tie for 15th. And not only that, but he got to 18 under par. 18 under par was a tie for 15th last week, which is just wild. But we have limited stats. He was 6th in greens and regs, 16th in scrambling, 39th in putting. And that has been, you know, as I said, big, big leaps in the right direction for him. It moved him up to 126 in the standing. So that's where he sits this week, knowing that he needs to make a push the last 2 weeks. He's right on that bubble. And he's got his home tournament next week in Sea Island at the RSM Classic. So, never played this tournament before. You know, he'll go out there, he'll get it figured out. As we said, he played well in Mexico and we have another resort style, you know, tropical course this week. So Patton Kizzire, I found him at 90 to 1 and I like this trend to continue and hopefully he'll get it locked up this week.
Me too. I reminded him last week that we know that he won at Mayakoba. He won the Hawaiian Open at Wailea. I reminded him that just a little reminder here. My text message was, you play really good at these courses on this kind of turf in this kind of conditions. Uh-huh. Like, I see where you're headed, Elk. Thanks for the reminder. And we texted a little bit during the week, and he was very pleased with his finish last week. Could have been a fraction lower. However, he moved himself into position. He'd like to get it done this week. I don't know if he'd want to be home next week with all that home field pressure and everything about trying to keep his ticket. It would be much better if he could have a great week this week. Will 14th get him enough breathing room? I don't know. I think it's got to be top 10, Diane. So I would like nothing more than to see Big get in there and get a top 10. I think he's a top 60 player because his game is like this, right? His driving goes away, but his putting's always been the main thing. We always say that he putts as good as Ben Crenshaw did, almost like his buddy JT Poston. Those two together are just, imagine trying to out-putt them on the home putting green.
I'll never forget, a few years ago he told me that he'd watched some Secret Golf Jackie Burke content, and controlled recklessness was the phrase that he kept in his mind when he was out on the course, and it was a Jackie Burke phrase. So he said that he was channeling Mr. Burke. So keep that going again this week.
Absolutely. Jackie Burke says those race car drivers, they almost wreck on every corner, but they never seem to do it. So
Patton is plus 650 for a top 10. MJ Duffy is plus 500 for a top 10. So we'll be keeping our eyes on those guys. Right, so we've got all of our picks locked in for the week. I am taking two at the top, Alex Smalley and Chesson Hadley, Justin Lower in the middle, and then Patton Kizzire. You are taking as your favourite, is your favourite Akshay Bhatia?
Akshay.
And then Thomas Dietrich, even though, well, their odds are round about the same, I think. And then watching out MJ Duffy as your dark horse at the bottom.
That's correct.
All right.
We're going for a three-peat this week, Diane.
I know. That would be nice. Bermuda has treated us well. Okay, then. Well, thank you so much for watching and for listening to the Tour Report. As I said, penultimate event of this season. Next week, it's the RSM Classic. I can't believe we're here already. It's wild. I'm going to go up next week for the tournament, but before that, we'll be here with the Tour Report for our full preview, and we will give you all of our picks as well.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.